Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this Sunday morning. It's a pleasure to see each of you here this morning. And we want to extend a very special welcome to our visitors this morning. We hope that you indeed will feel welcome here at Main Street. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as we pass the attendance pads down the pew rack, if you will give us your address and your phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance on those. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church, and at this time I'm going to invite Lee Robards, our congregational nurse, to inform you of a couple of opportunities that you have.
Good morning. I want to inform you about some gathering programs that are going to be occurring for the next three Wednesdays. In lieu of a Bible study or a book study, we are fortunate enough to have members of our medical community come and present information to us for the next three Wednesdays. This coming Wednesday, November 5th, will be an audiologist from the Greenwood ENT. And she will be talking about hearing, but still not understanding. I know that that just may be a male-female thing, or it might be a hearing thing. I don't know. Don't want to get into that right now, but you can come and ask questions. On November the 12th, we're going to have Dr. Patterson from Carolina Bone and Joint. He's going to be talking about orthopedic problems of an aging population. He's going to bring actual prosthetic joints that would be placed, knees, hips, whatever. Come and ask questions. I know many of us are having problems with those particular joints. Come find out something before you have to know something about it. And our final gathering on Wednesday, November 19th, will be our very own Dr. Lincoln McGinnis and Dr. Mark Robards, and they're going to be tag teaming on how to talk to your doctor, how to get the most out of the short time that you have to spend with your doctor, what questions you need to ask, how you need to listen, what problems you need to bring with them. So if any of you want to attend these gathering programs, they start shortly after 6 o'clock in the Trinity classroom up here. You're welcome to come for dinner that begins at 5:15. But you need to make reservations with the church office. But you do not need to make reservations to attend the gathering program. Again, it's at 6:15, Trinity Classroom. Hope to see very many of you there then. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Members of the Board of Stewards are reminded that next Sunday, November the 9th at 5 o'clock, there will be a meeting of the Board of Stewards in the Trinity Classroom. Also, the youth of the church are selling live Christmas wreaths, so if you want a Christmas wreath for your home, they are taking orders through November the 12th. Those wreaths will be delivered by December the 1st, so if you are interested, you can contact the church office or email Jessica and let her know that you're interested in that. Also, Miriam Elwine asked me to let you know that the History Committee does know what they're doing, that they do know that the dates in the newsletter are incorrect. The first service in this sanctuary was held in November of 1918, and therefore we will be celebrating 90 years in this sanctuary on November the 16th of this year. We will have a service that will be very similar to the service that was held on that date back in 1918. And immediately following that service, we will have a dinner here in the Fellowship Hall. The dinner will be barbecued, Marion Moore's famous barbecued chicken. Tickets will be on sale immediately following the service just outside the door to my left here. The price is $7 for adults and $4 for children. So you can pick up tickets for that meal immediately following the service today. Also, at 5:30 on Tuesday afternoon of this week, County Council will be recognizing Main Street's 150 years of existence here in Greenwood. There will be a proclamation read during the County Council meeting, so any of you that would like to are invited to attend to hear that proclamation read as the Greenwood County Council recognizes Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come, all who hunger and thirst for truth, come to experience God's presence in community. Look to God with joy and radiant expectation, delight in songs of praise and exaltation. Taste and know the Creator's goodness. Take refuge in the One who supplies all you need. He's with us here and everywhere we go. May we worship here and inspire continued prayer.
be seated and join me in the invocation as found in your service bulletin. As we gather in the place, we join with all your saints in every time and place, O God, to celebrate salvation. You heal the brokenness within and among us. You rescue us from the cruelty we impose on one another amid our doubts and fears and frantic scrambling for attention. Help us in these moments to know your Spirit surrounding us, to sense your love embracing us, to realize your goodness, empowering us for joyous service. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to you, O God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our New Testament reading for today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Our epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound.
As we come to our prayer time, I want to announce for those of you who have not heard that Sarah Hartung's mother, Libby Johnson, did die suddenly Thursday, and the visitation will be in Newberry at the Whitaker Funeral Home from 3 until 5 today. The service will be at Central UMC, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's Libby Johnson, Sarah Hartung's mother. Also, let us be in prayer for Virginia Wiggins, who will have some surgery tomorrow morning. We will have ample time to remember those who have passed away on this All Saints Sunday later in the service. Today, I have a bit of a special prayer by the request of several of our members. I have pondered how to pray before an election, something I've never done before. And if you find me leaning one way or another, you have a vivid imagination. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we acknowledge you today as all days, as Lord, not only of individuals, but above all nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically. You have set us as stewards of our time and talent and treasure, and indeed stewards over the entire earth. Now give us the grace of your wisdom to discern in humility and charity our future leaders at all levels. May we always choose life over death, love over hatred, and compassion over possessions. Give us rulers who will protect the vulnerable and support the needy and feed the hungry and comfort the oppressed, and sow peace in the world wherever it may grow. Above all, loving Father, may we cherish your gift of human life, from developing to growing to the aged and infirm, to the sick and dying and hungry and those in prison as well. Among friends and enemies, let life be known and treated as valuable and a precious thing. We thank you for this opportunity the election year puts before us, but we remember that there is only one category of human, sinner, saved by grace. And so all politics are a compromise, and so our votes are as well. It is hard to choose one fallible human over another. We have chosen you as our Lord above all. Lord, in fact, you have chosen us. But as we make our choices in the ballot box, guide us according to the hardest data and facts we can find about the honesty, integrity, and ideals of the candidates we choose. We know that no election has ever stopped hunger or war or injustice or poverty or the creation of new enemies. Remind us that our ultimate hope is not in politics, but in you. Guide us to be careful as we vote permission for others to have power over us. And Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to be faithful citizens of this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name and lift up those for whom we pray our special prayers, those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, those who are recovering from illness, and those who are dealing with the results of tests and long-term treatment. And Lord, we pray for those who grieve even today, the loss of their loved ones in the year past. On this day, we set apart as All Saints. Hear the prayers of our hearts in this moment of silence. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated. We invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
All right, one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Good. Did anyone do anything interesting this weekend? Nothing? Yes? What'd you do? You went to Disney World? That is exciting. What? Did anyone go trick-or-treating this weekend? Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? You're an Iron Man? Was anyone a princess?
I was a
ballerina princesses. Well, do you know why we celebrate Halloween?
To some reason, to honor the dead people, and it's the day before November 1st, like Christmas Eve is the day before Christmas.
Very good. And what is November 1st? Do you know?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. It was yesterday. November 1st is All Saints' Day. November 1st is the day that we celebrate the saints. Does anyone know what a saint is? A saint is a person who lives their life for God. There's no doubt that they live their life for God. And most saints will even die for their belief in God. And so today is a day that we remember all those people, some people who we never even know about, who have lived their life doing what Jesus would like us to do, and who are good examples for all of us. This is why we celebrate All Saints' Day. And Halloween is the night before. And if you look back into history all around the world, everyone all around the world will celebrate Halloween. And the purpose, some people, there's different beliefs, but some people say that the people dressed up to scare off all the bad spirits so that we could celebrate all the good spirits the next day. And they would go around, instead of getting candy, they would go around what they called soul cakes. And you would go from door to door asking for soul cakes, and then you would pray for those people who had died during the year for God. And so that's why now we don't, go for soul cakes, we have candy, but that's where Halloween comes from. And that's why people would dress up. They would want to scare away all the bad spirits. And bad guys, that's right. So let's pray today for all those people who have given their lives living for God. Can we do that? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all those saints who have showed us a good way to live our lives. Help us to see their example and make good choices so that we might live a Christ-like life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, we do think about saints in a lot of funny ways, and I want to illustrate one of the ways we use the word with an old joke. It's one of my favorites, so I'm going to tell it. There were two evil brothers. They were rich and used their money to cover their crimes. They even attended the same church. Well, their pastor retired and a new one was sent. And he saw right through the brother's deception, but he spoke well and he preached true, and the church started to swell in numbers, and then they began a capital campaign to build a new sanctuary. All of a sudden, one of the brothers died. The remaining brother sought out the new pastor the day before the funeral, and he handed him a check for the entire cost of the entire building project. Well, he said there was only one condition. At his funeral, you must say that my brother was a saint. Well, the pastor gave his word and deposited the check. And the next day, at the funeral, the pastor didn't hold back. He said he was an evil man. He cheated on his wife. He abused his family. And after going on and on that way for a while, he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. We like to make that word be a special thing. But the truth is, we are all, every Christian is called to be a saint, to be a saint in the making. We are a community of saints in the making. And while we remember those who have passed on in the last year and the example they left, we need also to consider our own dance of faith and the example that we are leaving. There was an old Irish verse that says, I love this, God danced the day you were born. You are loved. You are beautiful. You are a gift of God. You are His own possession. You are a gift to all mankind, His gift of love to them. You are His. God danced the day you were born. Scripture says King David danced before the Lord with all his might. And I like to think of lifelong faith as a dance with God. Now, God leads, but it is a dance. And when you're young, you imagine the dance will be perfect as you glide across the floor and life will go from good to better and better, but no one's life turns out that way. In every life, there are missteps and there are miscues and there are times when you can't hear the music very clearly, but the beat goes on. As saints in the making, we are called to listen for God's music and to dance to God's lead. Did you notice that the Beatitudes all deal with some kind of suffering or another? And yet, like so many of the Psalms, they promise in the end that in the second half of each Beatitude that some way, somehow, in some place and time beyond our vision, God will set things right. Suffering, injustice, illness, grief, persecution will not have the last word. I know you all remember the Shaker hymn, The Lord of the Dance. And that hymn, after the cruelty of the cross, the hymn in verse 5 has Jesus sing these words, "They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the Dance," said he. "Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Dance," said he, "and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I'll lead you all in the dance," said he. Even after the cross, the resurrection affirms that the beat goes on. God's love will not be put out. And even though no one's life ever turns out the way we imagine, when we trust in God more than the circumstances of the moment, the ending is assured. God leads us through uncertain times and troubled times and even through the valley of the shadow of death. How can we read these negative circumstances in the Beatitudes and then just let it go as it says you're blessed? It only makes sense if it means that the final and ultimate blessing is to understand that a crisis throws you completely and utterly into God's embrace. And that is the place you come to realize that God's embrace and only God's embrace is truly secure. Trusting God in the storm is not just a good idea. Trusting God is the only option you have when money and friends and power and prestige and food run out. When God is all you have and you know it, you are blessed. You are blessed in that knowledge. Because then you know something that good times cannot teach you. As we remember the exemplary saints and their dance of faith before us, the common theme among them all is their trust and their complete reliance upon God, their calm assurance that in spite of everything, God is good and God will not forsake us. Now, a lot of us, I'm changing my metaphor now, don't dance in public. This is no longer a metaphor. I really don't dance in public. And it's a good idea, because it's an embarrassing thing, and I'm self-conscious about it. We don't want to publicly put ourselves out there and fail on a dance floor. But now back to the dance of faith. I think saints as people are people who are out there. They are out there with their faith and out there with their trust in God. Saints in the making who are self-consciously striving to grow in faith do not play it cautious. And they don't play it to please other people. And they're not afraid of being embarrassed because of their faith. They trust God and they live that way. As foolish as it seems, they believe that God cares and in Jesus has come and knows what life here is like. And they believe and trust in the warm embrace they feel in their souls. And they believe that in that love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, they believe they will feel that forever. Troubles are real. But troubles are only temporary. Saints believe without a shadow of a doubt that God gets the last word. And so they dance the dance of faith. They hold loosely to money and status and things, and hold loosely even to people. Because if we live long enough, we know that people, even the ones we love the most, that they too are just passing through our lives. Neither suffering nor life itself lasts forever. Saints know this, and so they can be extraordinarily generous and loving and notice and see the least among us, those who are almost invisible. Saints, it is said, are just sinners who keep on trying. I like that definition. And I love this poem by William Carter from The Gospel and Jazz. He writes this about keeping on trying. Said, "You can punch my lips so I can't blow my horn, but my fingers will find a piano. You can slam the piano lid on my fingers, but you can't stop my toes from tapping. And you can stomp on my foot to keep my toes from tapping, but my heart will keep on swinging in 4/4 time. And you can even stop my heart from ticking, but the music of the saints shall never cease." Think of yourself as a saint in the making. And you'll get better in your dance of faith. If you think of yourself only as a sinner, guess what you'll do more of? Sin. Why not try, even though it's a tight fit? Why not try, even though your faith is a little rough around the edges? Why not try to identify yourself as God sees you? A saint in the making. I think God did dance on the day you were born. I think Jesus loves you is more than just a children's song. I think it is the truth, even you, even me. Saints also know without a doubt that God loves other people as much as God loves me. So they're very focused on other people. And you've met those kind of folks, and some of them we remember today are those kind of folks who had such embarrassingly high opinions of us that we almost wanted to argue with them. Too many compliments. Saints spend time trying to bring out the best in others. But that's what God wants us to do. We were made for each other and for God. And these days together, we are glued, I've noticed, to one screen, the TV, or another, the computer, while ignoring real life and other people all around us. I went on a bike ride yesterday in which a little toddler was being pulled in a sort of a baby trailer. I don't know what you really call those. Baby trailer doesn't sound like a good marketing name, but behind the bicycle, of the father's bicycle. And we rode down a very wooded, wonderful bike trail downtown and up and down hills with the shadow and sunlight playing patterns on the ground. And the little boy saw not one second of it. What? Because he was absorbed in watching a movie on his portable DVD player. He was with, but not with, his father. He was outdoors on an adventure, but he was no part of it. There's a world out there, and there are people out there, some pulling for us, some pulling against us, some trying to drag us down. Some are hungry, grieving, poor, and lonely people out there, and maybe even in here, who we do not even see or notice. Glued to one screen or another, we don't even see. We're very practiced in ignoring situations in which we might be a help. As I said, these Beatitudes have a lot to do with suffering. But these blessings only sound right to our ears because we have heard them before. But in fact, there is a dissonance, a wrongness about associating blessing with poverty and hunger and grieving. The blessing only makes sense if God is with us in the suffering and feels with us and will redeem us beyond the suffering. And I think that is the implied point. God has feelings. God cares. God cares so much that God entered our world and entered our suffering through Jesus Christ. If you miss this, I think you miss the gospel. Saints are those who have noticed and feel for others who are alienated, others who are powerless, hungry, poor, and grieving. There is a blessing in knowing that God is with you even in suffering, and there is a blessing in being able to notice and care about the suffering of others around you. You'll remember that Jesus began his public ministry in Luke by quoting Isaiah and saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The poor, in this context, in the Beatitudes, are those who have no power, no voice, no money to buy a place at the table to be paid attention to. They are the invisible poor. Have you seen them? That's a trick question. They're invisible. They're all around, and they show up every Thursday when we have our food pantry open for groceries, then they disappear again. Jesus noticed them. Saints noticed them. Jesus did something extraordinarily contrary to his culture when he said, "Let the little children come to me." You know, stop pushing these children away, disciples. Let them come. He noticed the most powerless people in his culture. They were children. They weren't even viewed as people. And the women he touched and allowed to touch him, and the men he called as disciples who were of no high esteem, that all creates a theme. And the theme is God cares for all humanity. God makes no distinctions as we do in class and wealth and sex and race and nationality. And Jesus also did not run away from the stickiness of involvement with needy people. He felt compassion and would often interrupt his travels from one place to another to meet the needs he saw along the way. Yes, God feels for us. God knows our fears, our needs, our grief, our regret, our loneliness when we seem to fit in nowhere. In Jesus, God knows about suffering. And in Jesus, God promises redemption and blessing beyond present circumstances. I know the blessings are paradoxical, and yet each one of them points to a God who feels with us, who has been here among us, and who suffers with us when we suffer, who grieves with us when we grieve. A God who in Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. God has entered into our suffering. God has redeemed our suffering, and there is a reality beyond this reality where there shall be no more suffering. A reality where God will wipe away every tear, as we heard in the earlier reading. And it's not a pie in the sky cop-out. It's not. And listen, one more thing. We as Christians must do what we can to focus our eyes in the darkness of this world and see the unseen and notice the unnoticed and the needy and the suffering all around us. It is no accident that you have more free time than others. It is no accident that you have more money than others. It is no accident that you have more education and talents than some others. It is not an accident that you have more access to power and more voice than others. God gave you these things. And God gave you these things to use for those who have none of the things you have. We are called as Christians and saints in the making to do some things. And it starts with feeling and noticing and caring for the invisible. It starts with recognizing as we look in the mirror that we too suffer. And no amount of money and leisure time and education and talents will feed within us the hunger and thirst for righteousness and for holiness and for the reality that we know in our souls should be but does not exist. We are called to trust God and live out that trust with others. Behind every saint stands another saint. Don't just admire, aspire to leave an impression of one who, no matter what, trusted God. I've seen the grave in his grave in Zambia, but there's a famous story about influence. Dr. David Livingstone and Henry Stanley. Dr. David Livingstone was a famous missionary in Africa, and he disappeared into the jungles. Henry Stanley went on a search for Dr. Livingstone and found him after a lengthy search, and there was the famous line that you've heard in history, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." And the two men lived together for 3 months, and sometime after, Henry Stanley wrote his memoirs, and he said, "Dr. Livingstone made me a Christian and didn't even know that he was doing it. He inspired me, and he didn't even try. Just by living his life." We remember the lives that were lived before us this past year. And we too are called to be saints of God. We are called to join that great cloud of witnesses, the communion of the saints, in proclaiming to all the love and mercy and grace of God. And that's why we're here today. And that is why we remember those who have gone on before us, for they remind us of this truth and they call us to live it out in our lives. So what do you say? Shall we? It is our call to continue the dance of faith, to make sure that the beat, the rhythm of the saints, goes on. Please turn to our All Saints Litany that's included in your bulletin. Included in everyone's bulletin except mine. Sorry. It has been the practice of the church to remember those who have lived out their faith and been an influence on others, to bring them to faith or to help them grow from faith to deeper faith or to help them overcome doubt or difficult situations. We remember people like that today. People who have lived out their faith and influenced us in Main Street and have kept us in an unbroken stream for over 150 years, be a church of witness, a church of impact, a church continuing faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. We remember those in this past year who have lived and died and struggled and gone on to be with God in His eternal embrace forever. Join me now in the Litany of the Saints. Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race.
We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Patriarchs and matriarchs, prophets and psalmists, disciples and evangelists, martyrs and saints.
We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For all the saints, Lord, who struggled with you today, who followed, obeyed, adored you, our grateful King.
Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race. Family members and members of this congregation, fellow believers in every country, every denomination, friends who help guide and uplift us, children of your family, sheep of your fold, saints of your redeeming. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely.
And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us,
looking to Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
We will now remember each of those who have passed in this past year by the ringing of a bell showing the echo of their life among us and the lighting of a candle showing that their influence still burns brightly through those who remain. Either family members or our close friends will come forward during the reading of their name to light the candle. We will begin. Joyce K. Bartless. Marvin Reynolds Griffin. Graham Luther Rogers. Alma Cheek Cromer. Mady Garrett. Virginia Stroop Vincent. Barbara Dillard Stroud. Reverend John D. Williams. Margaret Bailey Tinsley. Miriam Lee McKinney Rogers. George Layton Daniel. Ruth Martin Miller. Harry Edward Hilliard. Newell Russell Whitener. Louise Taylor Arnold. William Baxter. Virginia Mendenhall Whitmire. Anna Lecter Stockman. Kenneth Ray Flincham. Hubert Austin Starling, Sr. Marjorie Reinhardt. Campbell Edward Marino. Gail Clark Eigelhart. Josephine Williams Hinton. Albert Cowan Gambrill, Jr. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of those who have lived and died in the faith. And we thank you for the word you have given us, that in life and death and life beyond death, you keep your children with you always. Blessed is that hope and that promise of your eternal embrace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. benediction, I want to beg the forgiveness of the family of Helen Putman. I did not call her name out. That was simply an oversight, and I do apologize. Now, please receive this benediction, this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the presence, even in this moment, of the Holy Spirit to give you courage, to comfort you, and to give you guidance, to live the faith, to continue the dance of faith. In Jesus' name, you have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others. Amen.